time to get started. How's everybody's memory doing on learning all these 17 periods? Does anybody know them better than we did before we started? Nobody, I didn't think so. All right, let's go over them. 17 periods, all right? Before the flood, gathering of the people, patriarchs, the Exodus, wandering in the wilderness, invasion and conquest, judges, united kingdom, divided kingdom, Judah alone, captivity, return from captivity, years of silence, life of Christ, early church, letters to the Christians. All right. So this is the 17 periods. We've gone through the first cycle. The first cycle is just learning that along with what links them together. Okay? So that it's not just a list that we're learning. It's the connections between them as well. Okay? When you think about those links as we study them, you've got them on your printouts from previous classes. And if anybody needs some, we've got some extra copies. If anybody needs one, Jeremy, we've got a few copies back there. The second cycle, what did we do with that? We added a little bit more content to it, didn't we? All right? So we just added a few more things. We put the stories that we know. And that's the thing to do on your own time is just pick out a story and think, all right, which period did that occur in? All right? And tie that in to this outline. It's really what it is, or these periods. All right? The third cycle, which is what we're doing today, is doing the same thing, but we're going to add some chapters and find it in the Bible where this is located. As you know, the Bible, as it's written and as it's put together, it is not in chronological order. All right? It's, you know, some things occur over here and the next exact thing occurs, you know, a lot of pages over. And so you have to think about it and study about it to think about what happened in a chronological order. My mind, anyway, kind of thinks that way. And I think as human nature, we do. So let's get into it. And so before the flood, all right? So what's the stories in there? What's some of the stories? All right? What's the next period, by the way? The flood, right? So before the flood. So we can only go up from everything that happened before the flood. So turn in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. We go through chapter 5, okay? Chapter 5, and that is the first period. It's only a few pages, right? Now, the next one, the flood's pretty easy, but we include a few chapters in it. Chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. All right, so we've got chapters 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 for the flood. That includes some of the laws that God gave before a law, before a covenant, before a law or anything. These were some of the things that God told man to do. All right, so from there, we go to scattering of the people. Before the flood, scattering of the people. Scattering of the people is just one single chapter, chapter 11. Okay? The story of the Tower of Babel. So three periods, we've only gotten through 11 chapters. So not a whole lot of content in those periods, but very important in the story of the Bible. From there, we go to the patriarchs. Before the flood, scattering of the people, the patriarchs. All right, who are the patriarchs? We got Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. All right, who's our link in that period? Joseph links us all over into Egypt. All right, so look at Genesis chapter 12, all the way through Genesis chapter 50, which as you know, your Bible and your stories, that's the end of Genesis. That's the rest of Genesis. All right, so chapter 12 through the end of the book, that's the patriarchs. That's the patriarchs. All right, and that last little bit is about Joseph, and that leads us over into the next for the Exodus. So, the book of Exodus is completely covered in this period, but we also go a little bit further over into all the way over to Numbers. I say a little bit, actually a lot. We include Leviticus and Numbers in this. So all the way over to Numbers chapter 14. Okay? So we've got Exodus, Leviticus, and through Numbers chapter 14. All right? Now, what happens in chapter 14? Why do we stop it there? Well, chapter 14 is the story of where the people rebel, right? They won't go into the land, and that starts the spies, the story of the spies is in there. So we go into wandering in the wilderness. Okay? All right. All right, so we're good with that so far? Before the flood, scattering of the people, the patriarchs, that gets us through Genesis, the patriarchs, the Exodus, there's a few bit more content in there. We've got Exodus, Leviticus, and a bit of Numbers through chapter 14. Okay? Now, with chapter 15, we start the wandering in the wilderness. We have and one of the first stories there, chapter 16, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. God chooses Aaron. And so we include in wandering in the wilderness the rest of Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua through chapter 3. Okay? So wandering in the wilderness. So wandering in the wilderness is Numbers, the rest of Numbers through Joshua chapter 3. All right? Joshua chapter 3, what do we get into? Who takes over as leader? When Moses dies at the end of the wandering in the wilderness, Joshua takes over as leader, right? He leads him into the land. So that's our link into the next period, which is invasion and conquest. Joshua is the commander. He's the leader through the invasion and conquest. So invasion and conquest starts in chapter 4 and goes through the rest of that book through Joshua. There's not a lot there. There's only 24 chapters in Joshua. So, but it's, remember what the content is in there? We've got the, when they cross over, remember your map? We've got the Mediterranean on this side. We've got the Jordan River flowing. They're camped on the east side of the Jordan and they go over into the land. And that starts the conquest. They go in for through a central campaign, then they go south, the southern campaign, then they go north, defeating all these nations there. And then what do they do after they've conquered it and subdued the land? They divide the land between all of the tribes. Okay? And then they remember there was a few tribes who lived on the who wanted the east side of the Jordan instead of being over in the land. They wanted the east side. So they were granted that. And they were the Transjordanic tribes. And they went back home during this period of the invasion and conquest. Okay? Once they got into the land, it was peaceful, right? But then what did they do? Because they hadn't destroyed all the nations completely, like God had told them to, their neighbors. They intermarried, gave their sons and daughters and intermixed, and there was an influence there on the God's children, and they went over into idolatry. So we began the period of the judges, and God would send them a deliverer, someone who would lead them or teach them and bring them back out of that. And that happens a few times in the book of Judges as we read through that. So during this period of Judges, we have the book of Judges. We also have Ruth is during this time frame. Okay? And we have part of 1 Samuel up until chapter 10. Okay? All right, so through 1 Samuel 10. And it's in this chapter, you know, in this, at the end of this is where they're asking for a king. They want a king, and God's going to grant them to. That it's not God's choice. It wasn't God's will, but they asked for it, and God says, okay, I'll give you the king like you want. And he gives them their king. So that's the... that's the Judges, Ruth, and 1 Samuel up through chapter 10. Then we see Saul, the first king, starting in 1 Samuel chapter 10. And we're going to go... this is where we get a little bit... up to this point, it's been pretty logical. It's been, you know, we're just following through the chapters up through here. But here is where we have a little bit of break. Now, just... relax your mind a little bit. It's pretty easy to understand. But from 1 Samuel chapter 10 through 1 Kings chapter 11. So we got all of 1 Samuel. We get the story of Saul. We get the story of David and his king as king. And we also have Solomon up through 1 Kings chapter 11. All right? So we've got that right there. 1 Samuel chapter 10 through 1 Kings chapter 11. Now, we also get some of that story elsewhere in the Bible. All right? So, we get more information. Some of the, we read the same thing and a little bit more information in another section besides just this section that we're looking at. And that is in 1 Chronicles chapter 10. So turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 10, and starting in 1 Chronicles, now what happened to the first part of 1 Chronicles? Well, the first part of 1 Chronicles is genealogies, alright? So 1 through 10 is genealogies, but don't worry about that for the moment. But starting in chapter 10 and going through 1 Chronicles, or 2 Chronicles chapter 9. So, what you can do is you can kind of hold these two sections up. They tell something the same periods, almost. Alright? Now, the Chronicles doesn't retell about Saul. The Chronicles tells mostly about David and Solomon. Okay? So 1 Chronicles chapter 10 through 2 Chronicles chapter 9 is the same as telling that story. We can kind of, we'll put that in this period of the United Kingdom. Alright? So, from here, look back to 2 Kings, where we stopped off there at chapter 11. Alright, so 2 Kings chapter 11 starts what period? The divided kingdom. I'm sorry. 1 Kings, my apologies, I misstated that. 1 Kings chapter 12, okay? All right, so 1 Kings chapter 12 starts the divided kingdom. And we go through 2 Kings chapter 17. So I'm going to restate this because I think I messed it up. All right, so going back to the United Kingdom, all right, where we got Saul, David, and Solomon. All right, that starts in the United Kingdom. That starts with 1 Samuel chapter 10 and it goes through 1 Kings chapter 11. All right? Then we start the divided kingdom right there at 1 Kings chapter 11 or 12, and that goes through 2 Kings chapter 17. Okay? That's the divided kingdom. Now, the divided kingdom is the same way as we saw in the United Kingdom. There's another section of the Bible that tells kind of the same story, all right, and gives us more detail, other details about that period. So, along with 1 Kings chapter 12 here through 2 Kings chapter 17, we go over to 2 Chronicles again. And 2 Chronicles chapter 10, starting there, going through 2 Chronicles chapter 29. All right, so 10 through 29 of 2 Chronicles. Now, the story in the Kings is about the divided kingdom. It's about Israel in the north. The divided kingdom, remember, it's Israel in the north, Judah in the south. It tells about both of those kingdoms, as we have in the Kings, through 2 Kings chapter 17. In the Chronicles, however, chapter 10 through 29, that is primarily looking at the Judean kings down in the south. Okay? So we have a lot more detail about them down in the south. Now, why would you think there might be a little bit more detail about the kings down in Judah? And following their story. We follow their story a good bit more than we do the kings in the north. Sometimes in the kings in the north of Israel, they come and they go pretty quick and there's not a lot of detail. Some of them there are. But in Judah, why is that the case? That's right, because the lineage of Christ is coming through Judah. So whenever you get to the point, I know a lot of you have, and you memorize the genealogy from Adam to Jesus, to the Christ, then you see, all you gotta do is memorize the kings of Judah, and you've got a big chunk of it done. Alright? Of the genealogy. Alright? Okay, any questions, any thoughts thus far? Alright. So the next period after the divided kingdom is Judah alone. So turn back over to 2 Kings. We ended the divided kingdom in chapter 17 with Hoshea's reign. He's the last king there in Israel. And we go to 2 Kings chapter 18 and look who is reigning. Hezekiah. Alright, that's down in Judah. Down in the southern kingdom. Because Israel is taken captive and Israel goes away for good in the north in chapter 17. So when the northern kingdom goes away into captivity, then that leaves our next period, which is Judah alone. Alright? So that starts in chapter 18 of 2 Kings with Hezekiah. And it goes down through chapter 25. Now, so Judah alone, how much detail do we have about that? That's not a whole lot, but remember, there's another tidbit here. There's another section that tells a little bit more information as well. So back over to 2 Chronicles. Alright, back over to 2 Chronicles. And this starts in chapter 30, where we left off in 29. Alright, so chapter 2 Chronicles, chapter 30. Okay, so you can see right there in chapter 30, if you just read a couple of words there, Hezekiah. Alright, he does a bunch of reforms, so we're talking about Hezekiah starting out there. And this goes through chapter 36, which is the end of 2 Chronicles. Alright, so there's just not a whole lot of information at the end there, of Judah. Now, why is this happening? Why did this happen to Israel? Why did they go off into why did the northern kingdom go off into captivity? Because of their sin, because of their idolatry, they turned away from God completely. Now, they went off into captivity. That left Judah alone. Why did Judah stay as a kingdom for a longer period? They didn't go down as fast, but they did eventually succumb, and they went over to idolatry and false gods, and they left God also. So then they go, but they're alone, they're Judah alone, and there's a few kings there. It doesn't take long as they're Judah alone until they go off into captivity. Now, you've probably heard about multiple groups going off into captivity. All right, to make that pretty simple, remember Israel up in the north, they went off into captivity. All right, they went off. Assyria came and got them. The nation of Assyria. All right. Well, Assyria is over there, over in the Mesopotamia, off to the east. All right. Well, another empire arises and defeats Assyria, Babylon. Okay? That's all happening over there in the east. Well, Babylon is then responsible for taking Judah captive. Okay? And in that invasion, or multiple invasions, Babylon would take groups over. Okay? So it wasn't, up in Israel, it was just a complete and total boom, they're gone. All right? Over into captivity. But in Judah, it didn't happen that way so much, because Babylon, who is now controlled over in the east, well, there was multiple times where groups went off into captivity. Babylon would come and grab a bunch, take them over. Then later, Babylon would come back over and take the bunch. And it even happened where some over in captivity, over in Babylon, were allowed to go back on occasion, okay? And we'll see a return, one of the next periods. But, so, we have Judah alone in this section. 2 Kings chapter 18 through 25, and 2 Chronicles 30 through the rest of that chapter. That gets us through Judah alone. So captivity, the period of captivity, remember, this is about Judah who is alone and their Babylonian captivity. Israel went away into captivity also, but that's not the captivity that we're talking about here. This is about those. And here's an interesting fact. It struck me one time going through all this that somebody pointed it out to me. Do you think the captivity would be a good thing or a bad thing for a people? We would really not like it if somebody came in and took us captives and sent us away to some other place, would we? We wouldn't like that. I'm not saying they liked that, but here's what God was doing. God was taking His people, Judah, and putting them over here, and these were the ones that He was actually protecting. In a sense, these would be the remnant from these people over in captivity who would actually come back to Jerusalem as a remnant of God's people. So if that's the case, if these were the good ones and these were the bad ones, all right, the good ones went off into captivity. Who's left down here in Judah in the land? The not so good. This is actually in Jeremiah with the figs, the basket of fruits. All right. The bad ones, the people who just completely left God. They were just left down there. Guess what happened to them as they were just left down there? It was awful. Invading, and it was bad for them. Okay? The people who were protected went off into captivity in Babylon, and who was over there? Who's the stories over there? So what books are we talking about over in captivity? Well, it's Daniel, was he not an awesome character? A godly man? Who else was over there during that captivity of those protected ones? Ezekiel, right? Was he not a godly man? In fact, he was called to do his prophetic work while he was over there in captivity. All right? So Daniel and Ezekiel are the men, the writers, the stories that we have of that captivity. All right? So Daniel and Ezekiel. All right. And going back to what I was saying earlier, that you remember the groups that went over, Babylon would take groups over at different times. Daniel and Ezekiel didn't go over at the same time. Okay, so Daniel was one of the first ones in around the early 600, 605 in that area. And Ezekiel didn't go until later in the 586 when Jerusalem was destroyed, actually. I think that's right. Somebody might check me, but... okay? All right, so that's captivity. God's people are protected over there in Babylon. They're and Ezekiel's doing what? Especially Ezekiel. If you read through Ezekiel, he is preaching to them. He is called to tell them and to teach them to return to God, or there was a to restore them spiritually, and to keep them so that they don't go off into, you know, the idolatry and everything of Babylon. All right. So, in that last one, Jerusalem is destroyed. All right. Jerusalem is overrun. And Ezekiel's one of those who goes off into captivity at that point. And how long was that captivity? How long from kind of the very first, like I said, there was more than one group that went over, from the very first to the point, to the end of the captivity where they were allowed, a remnant, a lot of them were allowed to go back, if they wanted to go back. How long did that last? 70 years. Jeremiah prophesied that before it ever happened, that this was God's plan. So this was God's plan, all right, that his people would go off to captivity, stay there for 70 years, and then a remnant would return. Okay? So, all right, and that's in Jeremiah chapter 25, where he prophesies that. All right, so the return. So who all is in the return? Let's look at the books first. And this is where we have to, we'll jump, you know, it's the books here and there, and it kind of, it moves around. But Ezra is one, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi being the last writer of the Old Testament. So, Ezra, Haggai, Zechariah, Esther, Nehemiah, Malachi. Now, so, if you look in Ezra, that's where we get some of the story of what happens. As they return, in the first return, we see Zerubbabel and Jeshua. We see those two men who come back in that first. And what do they do? What do they help rebuild? The temple, right? To get the temple rebuilt. Because when Jerusalem was destroyed, the temple was, you know, destroyed along with it. So they come back. They're allowed to come back. And they start rebuilding it. They run into some, we'll say, lack of courage problems on their part in rebuilding. And a couple of more men come down, and that's Haggai and Zechariah. And they encourage them, they get them back on the right way, and they finish building the temple with Haggai and Zechariah there. We see the story of Esther, okay? It was Esther and her, not her father, I guess it was her cousin, Mordecai, who looked after her, who kind of took her under him, she was his family. And so he raised her. But Esther, godly woman, put her neck on the line for her people. Right? Very, very courageous. So we have Esther in that. And who also comes back? Let's talk in Ezra a little bit more. besides them coming back to rebuild the temple, at the end of that, Ezra's there, and what's happening there in this? It's kind of a first group comes back. They rebuild the temple, like Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Haggai, Zechariah. They come over, and then another group comes back. Ezra's one of those coming back into the land, and there's been some problems. You can imagine their spiritual state in general of the people, of the people, and they have. So Ezra is one of those who leads them to a spiritual restoration, you might say. Okay? And he gets their hearts and their minds back to the Lord. We call it kind of it's the second time that they come back. And then another return, and one of the names we will definitely remember is Nehemiah. He comes back, and what does he rebuild? The walls around Jerusalem, right? So we get these people returning from captivity. There's about three of these you can think of. The first one, they come back and rebuild the temple. The second one, they come back and rebuild their hearts, a spiritual restoration. And then the last one, you know, Nehemiah comes with them and they rebuild the walls. And each one of those had tremendous challenges. Those are some really good lessons for us about the courage, sometimes the lack of it, but the courage that they had to have to do what they did, and in all three of those. Okay. All right. So the return from captivity, we have those writers and those men: Ezra, Haggai, Zechariah, Esther, Nehemiah, and Malachi, being the last prophet. All right, that leads us into the next period, the years of silence. Okay? So the years of silence, it was prophesied about in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, that God wasn't going to reveal anything for a time. All right, for a period of about 400 years. Nothing, we don't have in the Bible record what happens to his people, to the Jews, to the nation. They're back in Jerusalem. You know, they've come back from captivity, but over this 400 years, you know, many generations go through, come and go during that time. What happens to the Jewish people? Well, we'll go through that in our 3-year, you know, we start that Sunday, by the way. Sunday we'll start, and we're going to go over the exact same things we've been doing these last, you know, few classes, but it's going to take us 3 years to go through the Bible. And we're going to study all of these stories, and these teachers, everyone who's teaching here, Wayne's got the first one, Genesis, all right? Each of these teachers, we're going to keep going through these 17 periods and keeping that in the forefront of our minds in this outline, and then along with the brief, you know, attachment of things in each of these periods and adding and finding where they are, we're going to get a lot. We're going to know the stories. We're going to know these stories are in these periods, and we're going to build this great framework over the next 3 years. Yes. Yes. All right, so Wayne's pointing out one of the objectives the elders want out of this and have had out of this is it's not learning the stories and the chronology and the facts and the figures. It's not just that we're trying to learn. What are we trying to do? We're trying to grow spiritually, all right? So you don't do that by just studying history, all right? The reason we're going through this and taking 3 years to do it is because in all of these stories and all of these, this is God's plan for you and I. And it started in the beginning, before the flood. And it's keeping on going during our lives here. Right? So during this 3-year period, we will know the stories, we'll learn the stories, but there's lessons of who God is, how He operates, what He wants from His people. We'll see people fail through this story, fail miserably, and turn away from Him. We'll see people rise up and honor Him and respect Him and worship Him. So we will learn all of the stories, those lessons, and those applications that we need in our lives. All right? Yeah, good point. Thank you. All right. So, years of silence. It's extra biblical. In other words, it's not in the Bible. But we have a little bit, like we talked about last week with Daniel and his prophecy of what would transpire. And we'll go through that a little bit. And we'll see, during this period, during this time period, what we look at during, you know, when we get to that period is we'll just look at the people, the Jewish people, and how the empires or the ruling bodies around them affect them. All right. So the Ptolemies from Egypt rule for a while. The Seleucids rule for a while. There's a Hasmonean dynasty there for a bit. And that includes the Maccabean revolt of the Jews there. And the struggle that the Jewish people have. And the thing about it is, when the end of it, the return from captivity, we see the people, we see the high priest, we see the worship. It's kind of like it has been, okay, in the sense that who picked the high priest? God did, right? All right. By the time the years of silence is over with and we open up in the New Testament, who picks the high priest? It's political. It's totally political position. There's nothing religious about it except there's, you know, the ceremonies and things that go along with it. It's the spiritual state, you know, has just gone, you know, out of the temple, you might say. And it's a different temple. It's Herod's temple. He rebuilds it and he modifies it from the one that the Jews, the returners from the captivity, built. Okay? So that's the years of silence. We open up in the life of Christ, and this is where it gets easier. All right? So we open up with the life of Christ, and what are the books there? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. All right? So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, during the life of Christ. And then the early church, all right, that's history, that story for us is in Acts, and we see that, and you see Peter and Paul, both of them, kind of divide Acts that way a little bit during that period. And then the letters to the Christians, the last period, the letters to the Christians. And that is the rest of the New Testament. That's a big one. It's an important one to us. We learn, you know, this new covenant. And somebody pointed out to me, and I want to cover this. I probably won't do it as well as he would if he were up here. But, you know, going through this, there's a reason we go through this. This is God's plan of salvation for us. All right? And there's a few spots that you can tie that Darren gave this to me. There's a few passages that everything kind of ties to. All right. The first one is in Genesis, right? In Genesis chapter 3, everything was good before that. I mean, before the flood, utopia. All right. But then in Genesis chapter 3, what happened? They sinned. They transgressed God's law. So sin, there's the problem. Sin. Well, God promises a solution where? To Abraham in Genesis, you say 12, Genesis 22, all right? Genesis 22, in fact, look at that for a second. Well, actually, we got a couple more minutes. Genesis 22, verse 18 is where he promises, no, we don't have any time. In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. All right? In your seed. And that's That's defined as being the Christ. It was singular. All right? So from there, that's the promise of a solution to this problem of sin. Then the next thing is God makes a covenant with His people. All right? This is not the covenant to end all covenants, but He makes a covenant and He establishes a relationship, and we see that in Exodus chapter 19, where He offers that. They accept it and they ratify it in 24. But He makes a covenant with His people, and that relationship exists for a long time. But we learn in Jeremiah chapter 31, 32, which is it? 31, I think. Turn over to Jeremiah real quick. Chapter 31, this covenant, it's not the covenant to end all covenants, but we find out in Jeremiah chapter 31, there's going to be another covenant, a better covenant. This new covenant, the better covenant, it's not going to be written on stone and tablets, right? Like that first one was, and all the laws and all the details. This one is going to be written where? On our hearts. All right? That's where it's going to be written. And, you know, so this new covenant is coming. And when does it come? Well, we can go to Hebrews chapter 8 and see the old covenant and the new covenant. And it explains it all out in Hebrews that Jesus was the reason that we have this new and better covenant because of His sacrifice. It was His blood that was perfect. He was perfect that did away with all that in the past. So we'll tie all that together over the next 3 years. Wednesday night will be our singing class. Wayne will take up with Genesis Sunday. So thank y'all.